Welcome to another week of our 4.5 year journey through all of God's inspired word, verse by verse. And today we pick up in Proverbs chapter number 2. Remember, Proverbs is a production of King Solomon, who prayed for and received wisdom from God. And apparently this book was specifically targeted to his eldest son, Rehoboam, when he was still a teenager, and we'll discover to some of his other sons that were born to him in those early years of the kingdom when Solomon was still devoted to doing things God's way. So this is a very helpful book, and it begins with an extended parable, I suppose you could say, or an illustration of how wisdom is like the godly woman a young man would want to marry. And foolishness is like the wild woman that could ruin a young man's life if he were to get involved with her. And I think it might have been Solomon's intention to do two things here. To teach his son or sons about the necessity of pursuing God's wisdom, but also the wisdom of having a good wife, a trustworthy life partner. And so I think that will come up as we develop this first section of the book. So Proverbs chapter number 2 says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding." And this is a very poetic book, so Solomon pictures different body parts being involved in the learning process. So here's the ear that's listening, and the heart, which they were not thinking about the heart as the body part that pumps blood, but rather the place where decisions are made. So if your heart is leaning toward God, toward God's wisdom, toward understanding from God's perspective, then it's going to make good decisions. So Solomon says, if you would do these things, yes, verse 3, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, so you're asking wisdom to come your direction. Eventually, wisdom will be personified as this godly woman. So you're calling out for her to come to your assistance. Verse 4, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. Now, the pursuit of wealth is often on the minds of young people, to make their life secure. Now, Solomon's son Rehoboam, the other sons are not likely going to be as worried about that since their father is the king and very wealthy. But it may be that Solomon knew, certainly the Holy Spirit did, that this book was going to be for everybody to eventually be reading for godly wisdom. So all of us need to pursue wisdom more than we would pursue physical or financial security. As important as that is, being wise in God's eyes is much better. Verse 5, then you will understand the fear of he who is and find the knowledge of God. Remember, the very beginning of the book said that the fear of the Lord, a healthy respect for God, is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the starting point. So here is Solomon encouraging his son. You need to put it all on the line. You've got to make sure you put all your energy into having a relationship with God and finding that wisdom. 4, verse 6, he who is gives wisdom. And Solomon knew that. Remember, he had been offered by God the chance to ask for any gift. and he asked for wisdom, and he was complimented for making that choice, because God is the source of ultimate wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. So God is portrayed here as the dispenser of wisdom and also the protector of those who act upon that godly wisdom. Verse 9, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. And these are very important parts of a king's duty, is to be a protector of righteousness and justice and equity. So a king needs good wisdom as the basis for everything that he administers. For wisdom will come into your heart, knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. This might be a good spot for me to mention the parallelism of Hebrew poetry, where they'll say something or write something and then turn around and use something fairly synonymous to repeat the idea. So in verse number 10, wisdom is paralleled with knowledge, and the heart is paralleled with the soul. The very personal core of a person is where they make their decisions. So wisdom is going to come into your heart if you ask God for it, if you seek his wisdom, and you will have the knowledge base that you need for your soul to be at rest and at peace. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you. Discretion is the ability to use information properly. That's what understanding is all about as well. Delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Remember that Solomon had already appealed to his son not to fall in with the wrong crowd, with a gang that seems to be only bent on having their own way, and maybe even harming, killing people in order to take their possessions away from them. So here he is reminded that these sorts of people are not wise, and you should not be associating with them. Verse 16, so you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with smooth words, or with her smooth words. Now, this is where we come into that illustration of wisdom is personified as the godly woman, while foolishness, which is not about ignorance, it's about the opposite of God's wisdom. Foolishness is going to be portrayed as this wild woman, this woman that would try to get you involved in an affair and violate all of God's rules and regulations try to talk you into engaging in inappropriate behavior. So here she is for the first time being illustrated. So if you have wisdom, then you'll be delivered from her. More about her. Who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. This is, again, part of the illustration that she has abandoned any type of relationship with God. For her house sinks down to death and her paths to the departed. That departed there in the Hebrew is Rephaim. And it is the idea of the sunken down ones. Those that have already died. And so we're talking about those that have already come under the judgment of God. That's where those that associate with foolishness are headed. They're going to come under the judgment of God as well. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So to become the associate of foolishness, the rejection of God's wisdom, is to put yourself in danger of being eternally separated from God. That's the idea that's coming through the poetry here. Verse 20. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. So this is going back to the idea, if you will embrace God's wisdom, then this is what's going to happen. You're going to stay on the straight and narrow. You're going to be associated with those that are walking the walk of the Lord, living by the Spirit. For the upright will inherit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. Now, when Solomon wrote those words, he probably had in mind the legal ramifications in Israel, which was a theocracy. That is, it was ruled by God. That if you get outside of the parameters of God's leading, then you're going to come under his judgment, even in the country itself. Even the rules laid down by the hand of Moses are going to come into play, and you might find yourself executed or exiled. Certainly, you could find yourself having financial difficulties because you're coming under some sort of temporal punishments. Well, that's not going to be the case for those who are living the right life in the land of Israel. Because the basic principle is that government is supposed to represent God and God's morality. This is the Romans 13 idea. That the representatives of God in the government are supposed to punish those who misbehave and reward those who behave appropriately. So Solomon portrays that idea that in his kingdom, in the kingdom of Israel, things will go well for those living by God's word, and they'll go poorly for those living opposite of God's word. Now, the ultimate application of this passage is that when Jesus Christ comes as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is going to sort things out. You might remember from the Matthew 25 passage that the nations of this world, the peoples of this world, will be gathered before his throne as the sheep are gathered, the flocks are gathered before the shepherd, and will be sorted out. And in the Matthew 25 passage, the sheep are placed on one side, the right-hand side, and the goats are placed on the left-hand side, and one is rewarded and the other one is punished. And that is effectively a representation of what Jesus will do when he returns. He is going to sort out between the righteous and the unrighteous, and the righteous will spend eternity with him in the new heaven and new earth, and the unrighteous will spend eternity away from him in that place which was prepared for the devil and his angels, otherwise known as hell. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. That reminds me of where Moses is passing on the Ten Commandments from God. And one of the things that's said is that in the children, obey your parents, that this was so that they would have a good long life in the land. Well, Paul jumps on that in the book of Ephesians, and he says this is the very first commandment was given with some sort of promise attached to it. And the promise was, if you behave yourself, then you have nothing to fear from the judgment passages. And so here is Solomon pretty much saying the same thing to his young son or sons. If you will follow God's directives, then God's not going to have to take you out of this life early or penalize you in some way. Verse number 3. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. This steadfast love, this is the word chesed, which we've talked about before. It's kind of hard to pin down. I think the best way to explain it is that it's a positive emotional attachment. It's the idea that a kindness, a liking, the Greek Old Testament at this point uses a word that has to do with mercy and compassion. So if you are living, if I am living by God's wisdom, that means we have to keep God's compassion, God's positive emotional attachment toward other people as part of our mindset and faithfulness, trustworthiness. They should not forsake Solomon's students, those reading these words. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. So make them a necklace so that they're always with you. Make them into some sort of book and take them everywhere you go inside your heart. So that's, I think that's actually kind of a hint at memorization. And so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Verse number 5, which many people have gravitated toward and made into a memorization passage. Trust in He who is with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your make straight your paths. So the idea here is, if you will trust God and make decisions based on what God has laid out as the background for making such decisions, don't think that what you would like to do is the best choice. Check out what God wants. Humble yourself before Him. Acknowledge His ways the best way. And if you do that, then choosing God's way is going to make the path better. The warning continues, verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear He who is, and turn away from evil. The wisdom, the fear of God, is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of the knowledge that we're talking about here. So when we stick with our human thinking of how to do things, we're likely to end up in a mess. We've got to jettison that idea and stick with God's ideas. And the Word of God, the written Word of God, is the source of all that wisdom. Now, what does Solomon say? If you do all that, it will be a healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. The word flesh here is actually the word for the navel, your belly button. It's kind of symbolic of the core of you. So if you do things God's way, then your core is going to be strong in Him. And you will feel better from the inside out. The idea of the bones here, Hebrews thought of the bones as being representative, again, of your core, of how you really were. So if your bones were healthy, if your bones were happy, then you were in good shape. Verse number 9. Honor He who is with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Basic principle of, if you seek first God's kingdom and its attendant righteousness, then all these other things that you might worry about, be concerned about, you know, where are you going to live? What are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? What are you going to wear? How are you going to get around? All that stuff will be taken care of. That's the Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 principle. So here, taking care of God's business, which means giving back into his work, that is going to result in God taking care of your business. Now, it's not this idea that you sometimes get from certain people that you can have one up over God, that you can kind of have a marker that forces him to do what you want to do at some point. He's not some sort of genie that's in a magic lamp that you rub it the right way and he has to do what you want. The principle that's being put out here is, if you take care of things for God, then God will take care of things for you. Verse 11. My son, do not despise he who is his discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For he who is reproves him who he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Now, this section, these two verses here, are reproduced in Book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. The idea is that Christians can expect God to sometimes deal out some sort of discipline against them if they're moving away from his way of doing things. But they should not look at that as being something negative, but rather the fact that God sees you as redeemable. Because parents discipline the kids they love, the kids that they want to be safe, the kids that they want to grow up and make them proud. Because you see, the parents that don't care about their kids, they just let them do whatever they want, regardless of the consequences. It's the concerned parent that steps in and warns appropriately that misbehavior is dangerous. So that's what God does with his people as well. And Solomon is trying to get his son or sons to understand that. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her, see, wisdom is being portrayed as a woman here. In the Hebrew, the word for wisdom is feminine in form. Just like in Greek, it's feminine in form. So that idea is now coming through in the pronouns. For the gain from her, that is from wisdom, is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. So you can't have a relationship more significant than your relationship with God's wisdom. Long life is in her right hand, because if you don't engage in bad ideas, then you're probably going to live longer. And in her left hand are riches and honor. Again, the rule of thumb principle that Solomon's working with here. If you are living by the covenant, remember he's Jewish, he's living in the time that the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, was in full force. If you live by the standards of the covenant, then God will bless you as a people. That was the promise to Israel. So here, Solomon is reminding his son, if you bless God by paying attention to his wisdom, then he's going to bless you. Verse number 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Now, the tree of life, that goes back to the story in Genesis, that the tree of life brought healing and immortality, but it was removed because of misbehavior. But here it's used metaphorically of how wisdom can bring you long life and can bring you peace and prosperity if you will just do things God's way. And of course, in eternity, once Jesus comes back, the literal tree of life is going to be restored for those who were obedient to the covenants of God. Verse 19, he who is by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. And this is kind of an interesting bit of poetry here, where wisdom is portrayed as being there with God from the very beginning. It says, my son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Remember, discretion is the ability to make good decisions. And they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. So we get back to that idea of having a nice necklace. That's something pretty and desirable. Well, so should living by wisdom. Then you will walk in your way securely. Your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you're not going to be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. See, if you're living by God's way, God's standard, then the Holy Spirit indwells you and makes you confident that no matter what happens, you'll be okay. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes. For he who is will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. So if you're living by God's way, then you don't have to keep looking over your shoulder. You don't have to keep wondering what's going to happen next, because you know and trust that God is in control. Verse 27, do not withhold good from those to whom it was due when it is in your power to do it. Now, with that line, where we're going to come back to tomorrow, he engages in some proverbial things, kind of a picture of what is to come later in this book, that you should do things God's way so that things will go well according to God's way.